name is the Reverend Helen Wilkinson, and I'm a member of the retired clergy here at St. Andrews. And later on this morning, we've got another member of the retired clergy called Jo Vickery, who is going to be preaching for us later on the next of our series in cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. And today we move on to peace, and Jo will be talking about that later on. As I say, a warm welcome, whether you're new this morning or whether you're visiting. I just met somebody who's camping on the showgrounds, so it's been lovely to meet them today in this holiday season. And if you're watching online at home, a welcome to you as well. So it's just lovely to be together as God's people. First of all, before we pray together, I just want to remind you one or two things that are going on this week. First of all, especially, the week of prayer for thy kingdom come has been extended from this week to next week. We've especially got the entrance hall open with a number of really stimulating prayer stations, and it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, I think, you know, will all of us miss a blessing if we don't come along to this. You can just turn up any time between 9 o'clock in the morning and 8 o'clock at night for 15 minutes, half an hour, a whole morning session, whatever you want to do. And I came in last Thursday with a real burden that I had in my heart for something that I'm involved with. And an hour later, having spent time here without any interruptions and no distractions, an hour later I left with a real sense of peace in my heart, and my burden had been lifted. So I'd really recommend that you come and join in Thy Kingdom Come and pray for the world and its needs. Also happening in the next coming little while, next Sunday evening, we have a baptism, which is really exciting. There are four men being baptized. Well, one is we have a member of our youth group, and also three older men are being baptized. And it should be just the most joyful occasion. There'll be refreshments served after the service. So do think about coming along, maybe bringing friends as well to come along to this, because there'll be some really interesting testimonies, because obviously for each person, they've come to know Jesus in a different way. And that's a really exciting thing. Just before that service on the Sunday, we have on the Thursday this week, we have also a communion service as usual, but this will be a fairly special one. We're celebrating Pentecost a couple of days ahead on Thursday. And at that service, we'll be thinking about the anointing of the Spirit and remembering the anointing of the Queen in her works of service for this country that took place at her coronation service. So we're going to be giving thanks very much for the Queen's anointing and service this Thursday. So that's at 11 o'clock this Thursday morning here at St. Andrews, to which everyone is welcome. I think Holiday at Home is also going on this week. I couldn't actually get the exact date. I'm sorry about that. I have done a bit of research. Somebody here tell me what day it's on. Oh, done it. Oh, I do beg your pardon. I am so sorry. I didn't realise it was this week. That's entirely my fault. That's why I've got the balloons. And did it go well?
Yes.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much. I'm sorry about that. I did pray for it, even thinking it was coming up this week. Men's breakfast is happening Saturday morning, so do think about going to that if you're a man. That's been really blessed of late. And it's helped people to connect. If you'd like to be on our weekly mailing, do go to the website and look at the connect, press the connect button and get linked up. So can I invite you now, all of us, to stand if you can, and we're going to pray together this morning. And we're all going to join in together. Faithful one, whose word is life, come with your saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last week, the fruit of our spirit that we looked at was joy. And so today we're going to begin by rejoicing together with this call to worship from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. And so we're going to sing together. Come, people of the risen King. And if any children would like to come to the front and use the instruments, then please do so. Now, I have got, I need some children to help. Do take a seat, sorry. I need some children to help in this next one. And because we've got fewer children here today, I really do need some of you to come and help me. And please don't run away. Can you possibly come up here? That would be fantastic. And you're actually already doing what we're going to be looking at today, which is a bit about how we can greet one another with a greeting. Now, do you know the high-five greeting? No? Shall I demonstrate? So, hi, okay, so we hit that like that, okay? Would you like to try that, two of you? This, okay, high-five, hello. Yes, well done, you're going to do it with each other. Now, are you brother and sister? Yes, well, you probably won't like the next one very much, which is the next one, the way of greeting one another, is to have a hug. Oh, isn't that great? You are brilliant. Because actually, the thing about hugging is that you need to have someone probably roughly of the same height is helpful. But I'm a bit taller than you, so it's not really quite so helpful. But the problem I find with hugging is that when you hug somebody, you don't actually see their face, do you? You're actually, you know, you're sort of looking backwards behind them. So the way which I like greeting people, which is something that we weren't able to do during lockdowns and things, is that I like to do a handshake with people. And actually, the funny thing about churches is you do quite a lot of it. Now, if you try a handshake, go and try a handshake. And what happens with a handshake, I'm going to do it as well, is, well, I like a handshake because when you handshake with somebody, you actually look them in the eye. You actually say, hello, hello. And when we're in church, sometimes we use this unusual greeting, says, the peace of the Lord be with you. I'd like to try that. So you're going to shake hands and say, the peace of the Lord be with you. And I'm going to invite everybody else to do the same thing. So we're going to greet somebody around us, maybe somebody that we don't know, you might like to turn round or whatever, and to say, the peace of the Lord be with you. The peace of the Lord be with you. If you'd like to all try that. It's something that we didn't do too much because of the pandemic. And it's something that we can now rediscover. They've really got into it, you know. They're greeting all sorts of people. And actually, the interesting thing is that what is going on? When we greet somebody and say, the peace of the Lord be with you, we're offering them the peace of God. So it's actually, it's really, really special. But sometimes, you know, the problem is that we have things in our hearts that sort of stop us offering the peace in a very good way. I mean, if you're anything like me, I get jealous of people, I get impatient with people, I get really fed up. And so I often have sins that I have to, things, all this horrible stuff inside me that I need to bring to God for forgiveness before I can offer people a peace, a greeting of peace. So I wonder if the two of you, and there might be somebody else might like to come up and try this because it's really quite exciting. I'm going to give you each a tablet that represents all the rubbish and the horrible things. No, don't eat it. No, this is not something to eat, this one. Now turn around. These are not very nice because they're representing all the bad things that we've got. And so we're going to drop them in here and remember that Jesus, this is just water. So Jesus, you see, came and he died for us so that we can be completely clean of our sins. And he washes us anew and afresh and gives us a fresh start. So we can bring all our bad things that we want to be sorry for, like being jealous of people and fed up and just generally grumpy. And we drop it in here. And it's fizzy, isn't it? It's called fizzy forgiveness because what's happening? It's disappearing, isn't it, in the water? Because Jesus is washing away all the sins. You want to try it with your... Go on. Anybody else got any sins that needs washing away? We've got plenty of tablets. No, it's not very nice. Yes, you can. Have you got another sin that's not quite clean yet? Brilliant. Thank you very much. I think that you're very clean and holy now. Lovely. That's just great. Shall we pray? Because you've got your special groups now, haven't you? Yes, yes. Yes, it's all right. Jesus is dealing with it all. It's all going to go. It's all go. Let's pray, shall we, before you all go to your groups. Lord Jesus, thank you for one another. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that you wash away our sins and make us clean. In our different groups now, help us with our freshly clean hearts to live at peace with one another. And to greet one another in peace for the sake of your glory. Amen. Thank you very much for my two helpers. Brilliant. Thank you so much. Really, really impressed. That is just fantastic. Thank you. We're going to, as the children leave now, we're going to get ready to sing our next couple of songs. And the first one has got a really interesting story attached. The first one that we're going to be singing is When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way. I'll just move around here, actually. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And there's a reason that those words say what they do, talking about peace. And it's all about a man called Horatio Spafford. Now, Spafford was an American lawyer in the 19th century who was a Christian. And he and his wife and family were going to come on a holiday here in Great Britain. And he was busy with work. And he said to his wife, you go on ahead with the children. Now, they had four little girls aged 18 months to 12. And as his wife was crossing the Atlantic, the ship that she was sailing in ended up in a collision with another ship. And hundreds of people were drowned, including their four little girls. And only his wife survived. So Horatio Spafford set off from the United States, came over to see his wife over here, and as he passed in his ship, as he passed along in the ocean over the place where this collision had taken place and his four girls had drowned, he wrote this hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. You see how appropriate that is. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Isn't that astonishing? You know, the peace of God passes all understanding. So can I invite you to stand as we sing together?
Thank you. as we were preparing for the service, we were sensing that there are probably quite a few people who have brought with them things that are heavy on their hearts today. Some of you won't be in that place, but would you minister as we declare to each other, I speak Jesus to each one. So whether you're holding things, whether that's your health or family or relationships, finances, or just fear about the future, if you're one of those folk who are holding that today, would you be blessed as we sing this song, and we sing it to each other and over each other.
Jesus in the darkness.
like to take a seat as Colin comes to lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Father, we join with millions of fellow Christians around the world together as we declare, Thy kingdom come. We rejoice in the love that binds us together and ask that we may show our love, the love you have for our community, through CAP, the food bank, Holiday at Home, the Octagon, the Bereavement Cafe, and many other ventures in which we share you with others on our front lines. Father, we want to lift you now the school in Uvalde, Texas, where we witnessed terrible shootings this week. We pray especially for the 21 families mourning the loss of 19 young children and 2 teachers. Will you send your Holy Spirit to comfort them at this time? And may you touch the hearts and minds of those in leadership to consider how these recurring nightmares can be prevented. Our hearts also go out to those in Ukraine, where the ongoing battles take the lives of those who have no desire for war and so many innocent victims. We pray for your hand to be upon them and on the multitude of refugees who are fleeing for their lives. We lift to you especially Terry English and his family as they open their home and their lives to care for so many who need shelter. Bless them and provide the resources they need to continue their ministry at this time. And near at home, we pray for those whose hearts are full of fear due to rampant price inflation of fuel, food, and other essentials. We know many who are suffering from anxiety and stress and do not know where to turn. May they turn to you, and will you grant them your supernatural peace in their hearts. And as we contemplate peace, our fruit of the Spirit for this morning, will you grow in us your peace. Holy Spirit, we pray that this day you will fill us with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in our lives. We especially pray that we will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, and that his peace will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us join together now in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you so much, Colin. It's a real delight for me to introduce to you this morning Joe and Sean Vickery, who I think are going to come up to the front, and just going to ask them a little bit about what they've been up to. Now, Joe and Sean, it's lovely to have some more retired clergy on the team, and Sean too, it's great. Thank you very much. So what has brought you to Malvern, would you say?
Well, it's been quite a journey, really. We retired, well, because we're very much together in partnership in ministry, and been in ordained ministry for a long, long time, since probably nearly 40 years in parish ministry. And for the last 19 years, we were in Bristol in a parish of 28,000, made up of lots of little villages. They were villages, a bit like Malvern. You know, got lots of different Malverns in the area. We had lots of different places that all merged together when houses were built, and houses were built, and more houses were built, and it increased the population to a large area. And the church where I was the vicar was quite a big church by the time we left. It had about 300 or 400 people And so I was very thankful to be able to see that journey continue when we oversaw a large building project of £1.4 million, and that transformed the building into a place of light and worship. There are people can be, it's a very flexible space that could be used by all people in the community. And like this church, you know, there's a real focus on serving the community. I love the expression of being a blessing, you know, being a blessing, having been blessed, being a blessing to others. And that was very much on our heart as well. And so we served there until just over a year ago, when I felt it was right. We completed what God had asked us to do, really, hadn't he? And we felt it was the right time to retire. So we moved. We were thinking of moving here in Malvern. Couldn't find a house that was within our budget. Because we wanted to have a bit of space and a bit of garden and sort of like breathe, you know. And so we found a place, the other side of the mountains, as they say. It's about 20 minutes drive from here. But we love living there. And we found coming here, as we knew Dave and Alice a little bit. They'd come to our daughter's
yeah,
well, wedding.
They're in the same home group.
Yeah. And then in the same home group as our daughter in Cheltenham before Dave started his ordination training and then went on to the next parish. So we had a little bit of a link with them, and we heard about what was going on here and thought there's so many similarities between what's going on here and what God is doing in this area to what he'd been doing in our patch. We thought, let's go and see. And, well, nobody talked to us on the first day. Was really grumpy. I was just like, can we ever go there again? Is it like that?
You're joking.
It's amazing. Yeah, it was really amazing. We kind of just walked in that door and people were just incredible. It was just amazing. It did really feel home from home. And it was a really important thing because it was a bereavement leaving our church. It had grown exponentially over the years, and so we'd known all those people as they'd come, and we had a very close relationship with so many of them. So it was a bereavement. So yeah, it was a big step for us. And I'm an education advisor, and I write resources for schools, and I had cut back an awful lot on my work. Joel might say a little bit about why that happened. We had something that happened in our family which was pretty traumatic, and we decided that for various different reasons, including the fact that we felt that that we'd done the work that God wanted us to do in Downend, we felt it was the right thing to come. I just want to say thank you myself, really, because it really has been just an amazing welcome, and we love it. I better stop now.
So thank you very much for welcoming us, and we're really grateful for the opportunities to serve in little ways where we can. Thank you,
Helen. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Isn't that lovely, just how God is calling people here? It's just really exciting at this time for us to be able to be blessed, to be a blessing in this community. And Marion's got our Bible reading now. So if you'd like to grab a Bible, which you'll find in the back of the chairs, and the page reference should come up on the screen.
We've got two readings this morning, and the first one's from Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then we go back a few pages to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. Joe, if you'd like to come to the front, and if I could pray for you as you come to bring us God's word, that would be great. Father God, thank you so much for bringing Joe and Sean here. Thank you for your call on their lives. And we pray, Father, for this morning, that you will speak through Joe to each one of us. Thank you for all that you've laid on his mind and on his heart. And we pray that we might receive a double portion of your Spirit, Lord, this morning, and know your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much, Jean.
Thank you, Helen, very much indeed. One of the joys of being a member of a church like this is that we can rejoice in what God has been doing. And as I read the annual review and got to know some of the people involved in those different aspects of the life of this church, of these churches, as All Saints and St. Andrew's, I just thought, wow, what a God. What an amazing way that he's working in and through you and now us as God's people involved here in this community. I think of the diversity and the impact that is being made for the building of the kingdom. We are seeing God's kingdom come in remarkable ways every day as we share that life on our front lines, on the places where we live, places where we work, the places where we are most of the time. It is such a thrill to see that happening. And we are indeed, as the statement of vision says at the very front of this review, partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities, partnering with God. So we're being filled with the life of God so that that life can overflow into wherever God has placed us. This is certainly a flourishing church, and the stats and the stories in that report paints a picture of remarkable growth and rapid growth that this garden of God's is bringing forth. That rapid growth that we've heard about is something that needs hugely skillful, prayerful, wise and courageous leadership to deal with. It's quite easy to be overseeing churches that are just chugging along. You just do the same thing all the time. But when a church starts to grow, it gets bigger and the problems get bigger as well as the opportunities. And that's why Having got to know a little bit more about Dave and the leadership team and the people involved in making these key decisions, I'm so thankful that we have a person and a leadership team who is willing to pause, to step back, to reflect and to reimagine what sort of church community we need to be and we need to become in order that our local community can flourish and thrive and throb with the life of God's kingdom. As we, over these weeks, reflect on the fruit of the Spirit, what is happening is that God is beginning to paint a picture of the way that he works, forming people to become a little bit more like Jesus, not just as individuals, but as a church, as the Spirit cultivates his character within us. But this morning I want to ask how. Specifically, I want to get onto the how straight away, because the practical application of this teaching is crucial for us to be able to make steps forward in our lives. How can that growth, the growth as a church and in our lives, be maintained? How can it not only continue healthily, but also expand? And so last week, Judith was looking at some practices to help us do that, some spiritual disciplines, if you like. The practice of praising God, learning to sing in our sleep, so to speak, cultivating an attitude of gratitude. This week, I want to look at another practice which I have found absolutely vital for promoting or enabling healthy growth to happen, to being life and health and peace, as Charles Wesley's hymn has it. It's an action that is very easy to overlook and to miss. And you may be able to have spotted something that I haven't done in Chris Wright's book that we've been using as a basis for these things. It's a really helpful theology and practical teaching, but I was really surprised to find no reference myself to the whole practice of pruning. Pruning. I want to look particularly at that practice now, the practice of pruning. Now, Jesus, when he was speaking on the night that he was betrayed, just after he'd washed his disciples' feet, the Last Supper had taken place, John's Gospel records five chapters, chapters 13 to 17, which speak of the things that Jesus told his disciples at this crucial, most poignant time. He spoke on this night of this betrayal about Peter's forthcoming denial. He spoke of himself as the way to the Father, of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he prayed for himself, for his disciples, and for all who will come after them, that is, us. And as Jesus pours out his soul during those final hours, we have these words. I am the true vine. This is chapter 15. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will become even more fruitful. He prunes so that it becomes even more fruitful. Now, this was a picture, this was an image of the vine and the branches and the grapes and everything that was very familiar to the disciples, of course, in those days. They were sitting at the table drinking cups of wine, and they knew that good wine comes from juicy grapes. They also knew that the only way to get good grapes is if those who look after the vine
have made the practice of pruning an integral part of the agricultural year. It might be light pruning, as might be done with some secateurs. It might be, for example, taking lots of leaves that are overhanging the little grapes so that clipping them off so that the sun can get to the grapes and ripen them and make them grow more fully. Or it may be that a more radical form of pruning is needed, and we might need some loppers to cut off any branches that are getting in the way, branches that are dying or dead, so that the vine can grow into places it wouldn't otherwise do, and better harvest of grapes might be revealed. So now that we've moved back from Bristol to a more rural area, this pruning thing has come even more into focus. I'll just get rid of these in case I do any damage. Each morning I take our Sprocker Spaniel for a walk, plenty of energy she has, and we go for a 2-3 mile walk around the area where we live. In the area we live in, this is very, very full of fields with loads and loads of fruit trees. And you can see some of them, one that I took on the walk just recently. And I was really struck by a person I saw getting a pair of loppers the other day, and he was going to each of these individual trees and to particular branches and just cutting off a few of the branches just here and there. And I looked at the scale of the task ahead of him. I thought, whoa, what an incredible thing to have to do, to prune each of these apple trees. And I had a chat with him and I said, well, are you doing all of them? He said, yeah, we're doing all of them. He said, well, because you've got to be able to access the apples. They mustn't get too high, so we can't pick the apples easily. And of course, if you don't prune them, the fruit will just get very small. It won't be high quality fruit for us to be able to sell. And I just thought, what an investment John, who is the manager of that farm, is making. The amount of time and pay that he must give to all those workers who are doing that amount of pruning of all the trees. What an investment. It must be worth it. And so it strikes me that what Jesus was talking about in terms of pruning, it wasn't just a description of the way things are working in God's kingdom, but it is this absolute priority. So I want to think secondly about the priority of pruning. And look back at that verse again. I am a true vine, my Father is the gardener, says Jesus. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will become even more fruitful. And I want us to look this time at one particular thing and ask the question, who is doing the pruning? The gardener, Jesus' father, is doing the pruning. Jesus is describing himself as the vine and we are the branches. The Spirit is producing the fruit, but God the Father is doing the pruning. This is really crucial for us when we think about the whole principle of pruning in our lives. We just pause for a moment and take a breath, because I want that fact to become so clear in our minds and in our hearts that it is God who is doing the pruning. Because the tendency is, if we're going to prune things in our lives, we think it's up to us to cut back on stuff and to cut things out. But it's God's heart and God's purposes that we are cooperating with to enable him to be the one to show us what needs to be done and how it can be done. So it's crucial that Jesus is saying, my Father is the gardener and he does the pruning. So what might the disciples be thinking when they hear this teaching? What is Jesus wanting his disciples to understand as he prepares them for what they're about to face? And what are the implications for us as disciples in 2022? Well, if, for example, for the disciples themselves, if Jesus is wanting them to understand this fully, he's wanting to prepare them for what is to come, which will indeed be some pretty traumatic pruning, some big traumatic events, to say the least. And God's pruning can feel traumatic. It can feel very painful. It's not something that we want to happen. But if God is a God of grace and a God of mercy, we can trust that he really, really does know what he's doing. And that he's only doing things that are painful in our lives for good. We have nothing to fear, for God is making room for more fruit to grow and flourish. And that's been something that has really come home to me over these last couple of years, really, as I've reflected time and again on that whole theological underpinning of life. And I want to share with you, Sharon touched on it, something that happened with our son, for our grandson, Huxley, and our son, Matthew. I'll show you a picture of the family, our family. Matthew, the red in a hat. He's with Huxley, our grandson, and Chloe, and Laurie, our second grandson, is also there. And of course, the camel. A rather disgusting camel. But that was taken just early this year. Before Matthew had a family, he was absolutely mad on sport and would take every opportunity to be out playing tennis or coaching rugby and whatever he was doing. And he wasn't doing that, he was at gigs. Just having a great time with all these bands that he used to love watching. He still loves watching them. But things changed. After a year of Huxley's life, he was diagnosed with retinoblastoma, which is cancer behind the eye. And over a period of about 10, 12, 14 months, we went on a journey with them as a family, praying that this would be fixed, and the doctors gave every impression that it would be okay. But the worst case scenario, said Mr. Vickery, would be that this happens and he loses his sight in one eye. Hundreds in our church and all over the country were praying. Thousands of people potentially. He lost the sight of one eye. And then the other eye started to show signs of the same thing happening. Surely this isn't going to happen. But yes, on the very day after our second grandson was born, Laurie, the news came through that eye also had to be removed. So he became completely blind. And it was such a devastating blow for us all, you know. God, where are you in all this? What's happening? But you know, somehow, Matthew was able to look at this, even though his faith is very small, He was able to go with this process and find as his life changed from being full of all the things he wanted to do to full of all the things that he needed to do and wanted to do for Huxley and for the rest of his family, his whole perspective on life changed. And something within his heart enlarged. The joy and the love that he had was something that just grew and grew and grew. And do you know, recently I was talking to him and I said, Matthew, how have you coped with all this? And he said, Dad, I've never been happier. I think he may not see it like this, but I look back on that and think, maybe that there was some major pruning happening to enlarge the capacity for the fruit of love, selfless living and giving, the joy that Huxley has brought to them, and the peace that they can have of knowing that they are in the best place with their family has come to pass. And so, in a way, whatever we face in the future, or maybe we look back on things that have happened, we can look at it with that perspective and so reveal something of the glory of God in and through these things to the world in the stories that we can tell, in the witness that we have. For Jesus, a little later in that teaching, said, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." It's all to the Father's glory. And he sees that depth of love, depth of joy, depth of peace being cultivated. So let me conclude. I've looked firstly at the practice of pruning and secondly at the priority of pruning. And thirdly, I just want to say a little word about pruning around priorities. Because this is how we discern what might need pruning. And I want to share with you what's in this glass vase. Because I think you've probably seen this sort of thing before. But one of the great object lessons of this is that there are different sorts of stones. Lots of little stones and a few big stones. And our lives, very often, are full of lots of little stones. Lots of things that we do, everyday things, and stuff is going on, and makes us quite busy with all sorts of things. But the big stones are the priorities in our lives, the most important things. Whether it be our family, whether it be our health, whether it be being at one, spending time with God. And so easily, those big stones can get... They won't fit in to our lives because it's so full of other things. The secret is putting in the big stones first and then putting the little things around them. You get that? It's the priorities that have to come absolutely first. I'm relieved to do that. As the name suggests. So, in our garden, there was quite a big shrub. And it was a perfectly healthy shrub, but it wasn't in the right place. And I think we've got a picture of me trying to cut down this shrub so that we could dig it out. In order for other flowers and flowers and plants to grow in the rest of the border so that they could add form and texture to the border. I'm sounding a bit like Monty now, aren't I? But you know what I mean? It just, and it really has. And Sean and I the other day sat and looked at our border. We've never had a border like this in our garden before. And we thought, wow, we've actually created a border in our garden. It's lovely. But by removing that big shrub, we were able to make space for other things. Now, don't need any more explanation. Let me just apply that to three areas: personal life, family life, and to the life of our church. In our personal lives, we can easily find that things become too busy. And what's usually the big stone to go? Well, even as a vicar, I found that the easiest thing to miss was just time with the Lord, quality time with God. That time when one can be still and reflect and pour out my heart to God in prayer and listen. In the space of silence, is there any more important place to be? And I confess that on Monday, Thursday, I was convicted when I was at the service up at All Saints of the need to have a retreat once a month. Thought, right, Lord, yep, I'll do that. That's just absolutely what I'll do. Has it happened? Not yet, Lord. But I really have to be careful not to allow it to be overgrown with other things. Think about family life with small children. The priority for those who are parents and for us as grandparents is often to be able to have, in Jill Murphy's book, 5 minutes peace. 5 minutes peace, that's all I want. And if you know the book, you know that Mrs. Large tries to lock herself in the bathroom to get 5 minutes peace from these three children that are hovering around the place. And it never seems to happen. They even come into the bath with her and play musical instruments. And how families manage with finding some peace, I really admire how they do it. I suppose we did it once, but it seems a long time ago now. But maintaining and creating boundaries, giving time to what matters, is so crucial. It may be that God wants us to make some quite radical steps in our pruning. I think of a young couple in my previous church in Bristol, both health professionals. One was a paediatrician, just started a family. And the irony was that he was caring for other children to such an extent that he didn't have time to look after his own. He was out all the time. And in the time of the pandemic, that got even worse. He was sensing God's hand of pruning, his loving hand of pruning upon him. And he made that prayerfully made decision to reduce to 4 days a week rather than five. Make sacrifices in other areas so that he could have peace at home with his wife and his child. So personal life, family life, and finally we can apply it to the life of our church. My experience in Bristol as a vicar meeting with leaders of lots of different teams was that when we planned around priorities, didn't just plan and think, this would be a good thing to do, let's do this, because people would come at me with all sorts of ideas. You know, every week there'd be new ideas coming. Oh, let's do this, let's do that, I can do that. And I thought, we can't do all this. What are our priorities? So we had to plan around priorities, and that was really hard because it involved pruning. But when the staff understood the value of pruning, they actually looked forward to these meetings, and I said, well, okay, we're going to do that. What are you going to prune? What's going to go? And actually, there were really creative and constructive times, and it gave people a better sense of focus and purpose in what they were doing when we were discussing those key areas. And that produced peace in the team. It released a sense of, got to do all these things. We know what we're doing. We can be at peace about it. And let's do it well. Let's do one thing well. So, it's God who prunes. All these decisions, whether it's to do with family life, personal life, or church life, are all in the context of prayer. Because we want God to be the one who's guiding us into what, of course, we have to make those decisions, but we do it under God's guidance and in the presence of the Lord. Jesus said to those disciples in the upper room, he couldn't have made it clearer. In verse 9 of John 15. Remain in me, or abide in me, rest in me, and I will remain in you. Because apart from me, you know, if you do it on your own, it's not going to be fruitful. You can do nothing that's of real worth in the kingdom. He's teaching us today the secret of being fruitful, cultivating peace or joy or love. And the key is living at one with him. As we sang earlier, peace in your presence. I know peace in your presence. And those words of St. Augustine ring in our ears. Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless. We don't have peace until we find our rest, our peace in you. So it's remaining, abiding in the vine, in Christ, being at one with him, making that our overarching priority in life. It is at heart of finding the fruit of peace growing in a way that when we are at peace with ourselves and with the Lord, we can then be bearers of peace to others and be peacemakers in the world. So let's pray for a moment. And I'd like to invite musicians just to come forward. I'm going to pray just a prayer, a simple prayer, based on part of the reading we had from Philippians chapter 4. Lord, we praise you, Father of us all, that we can experience your peace that passes all my understanding as you guard our hearts and our minds as we learn to live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus be the centre. Let it be our prayer as we come to the end of this service, that it may cause us to say, Lord, be our vision. We really mean it from our hearts. Be my vision. Be the source of all I'm becoming. And if any of you feel you'd like to have a moment just to pray with one of us to the service, then please just say, is there an area in my life that I really want God to prune, that I know shouldn't be there, so that Jesus can be more at the center of my life? We can just pray a simple prayer that God will do his work in his way. It may not be what you want, but it may be what God wants. Are you prepared to say that to him now? Stand as we sing. Thank you.
Bearing all of what Joe has said in mind, can I ask you to make coming to the Thy Kingdom Come prayer room this week a priority? So let's close with a blessing. May God himself, the God of peace, make you perfect and holy and keep you safe and blameless in spirit, soul and body for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those whom you love, now and forevermore. Amen. There might well be, the coffee is going to be served in the hall, but there might well be something that God has put his finger on you on today for you. Something going on in your life where you need to know the peace of God in the midst of trial and pruning. So can I encourage you to come to the front if you'd like, rather than going to coffee, your friends or family will wait, and to come for prayer here at the front before we leave today. Thank you very much for coming, and God bless you this week. Thank you.